Hello everyone, it's time again for Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for what he's doing in these days. The Holy Spirit is our friend, our guide, our comforter. You know, in Ecclesiastes, I think it was chapter 4, Solomon taught about the need for a comforter. And he said that he noticed, well, here it is. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. He said, "So I returned and consider all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors, there was power, but they had no comforter. Wherefore," means, "for this reason I praise the dead, which are already dead, more than the living, which are yet alive. Yea, better than both they, which is not yet been, who has not seen the evil work that is done under the sun." This is a very interesting phrase of scriptures. And this is Solomon speaking according to his considerations of what he had seen. Those that are oppressed, they had no comforter. And on the side of the oppressors, there was power. But those that were oppressed had no comforter. The Ecclesiastes is a book that is, it's written by Solomon. It's an account of worldly life. That's why in the beginning he said, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." Under the yoke of the world system, everything is just vain. The whole thing is a farce. Nothing is not right. It's nothing good about the world system. The foundations of the world system is the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And everybody's selfish, and everybody's for themselves only, and they don't help each other. It's, unless they get something out of it, it's a backwards way of life. And there are those that will watch and see what you have and try to take it from you, or swindle you out of it, or acquire it through legal means. Anything, it's all the same. And there are those that will seek to be a blessing. And sometimes when people try to be a blessing, there are those that will try to take advantage of those who would be a blessing. And Solomon saw this. But the part I'm pointing out is there was no comforter. Now, Jesus, when he walked the earth, he taught his disciples. He was training them for a specific purpose. Everyone that was willing. See, the kingdom of God, it operates by those who are willing. His army is a volunteer army. They want to be there. They're not reluctant. And everybody that go to heaven, they want to be there. They're not reluctant. And people that go to hell are those that were lied to and driven to darkness. Now, to his people that love him, he had to leave. And his disciples, he told them that when he leaves, he would send another comforter. And they would guide them in this life. They would guide them in all truth. And the Holy Spirit will guide you, my friend, into all truth if you will give him a chance to do his job. If you listen to him. Now, everything that he speaks is going to be according to the word. It won't be anything devious. It won't be anything to hurt anybody. He will tell you truths that you may not want to believe concerning other people, to protect you from their evil. And he'll, you know, you may want to be married to somebody, you really like them, but if they're deceitful, the Lord will show you before you make that commitment. But sometimes the loudest voice is our own will and what we want. And we don't see the danger at the time, but he does. He's looking at it. So when he guides you, my friend, regard him. He's not going to steer you wrong. He will show you the truth about the matter. Now, the devil won't do that. He'll show you the the luxurious, beautiful side of the thing. He'll show you the bait side, not the hook side. God will show you both sides. He'll show you, he'll turn that bait around and show you the hook in its back. But you have to believe him. And then sometimes there are situations you may overlook, and he'll show you the good in it. It's things you may not see. That's to your advantage. That's to your benefit. And sometimes the person you want to marry, you like them because they're beautiful. They're attractive to your eye. But on the inside, God sees something else. And then there are those that people overlook because they're not as attractive. But when you get to know them, they are the breath. You'll love them, and they'll love you, and it'll work. The Lord will show you the truth. You're just going to have to trust him on it. Now, last broadcast, we talked about the blessings of writing God a blank check with you. Whatever you say, Lord, I will do it. When you do that, you activate the comforter in your life. You have to welcome the Holy Spirit. He won't come to give you his wisdom if you don't want it. He responds to you. He responds to your faith. He responds to your obedience, your obedience to him, to God. He responds to your love for the world, your love towards other people. When you love people, you attract the Holy Spirit to you. But when you start compromising, you repel the Holy Spirit and his wisdom. And there are people who misunderstand the Holy Spirit. They've been taught wrong about him, you know, in Christian circles. Some, they try to ignore the power of God. And some try to get in pride because they have the power of God. And both of them are wrong. If the Lord is powerful in your life, it is a grace. It's not something that you could originate. It's not something that you earn. See, the power of the Holy Spirit operates as we yield to the Holy Spirit. A lot of times people want to look magnificent, and they want their life to look magnificent, as if there are no problems, nothing wrong. They want to be benefited, blessed. They want to be highly regarded. The Holy Spirit didn't come to make you highly regarded. He came to guide you in all truth, navigate you in this life, and to help you do the will of God. See, if the Lord do something mighty in your life, you allowed him, you yielded to him, and you allowed him to work through your life, and you invited him to. And he did it. The ministry gifts and the callings that God gives us, the grace that he gives us, that's up to the Holy Spirit. I didn't ask the Lord to make me an apostle. I didn't even know what an apostle was. So if I did ask him to call me to be an apostle, I wouldn't have known what I was asking for. But I said, but you know, He brought this to me. He called me to the ministry. I didn't call myself to that. I didn't wake me up and tell me to start preaching. The Lord woke me up. He said, "Behold, you are my child. I have chosen you, and you shall be a vessel of honor." That's exactly precisely what he said to me. And I knew what he was talking about. But not in full, but I knew it was a calling. I didn't know what kind of minister I was. I didn't want to be a minister. You know, if you would ask me at that day, "Do you want to be a preacher?" I'd have said no. I was kind of regretful at first that he called me. But he knew one day that I would love the ministry. Now with that, even though I regretted him calling me, there was a peace on the inside. There was a desire on the inside in my heart. I asked a guy named Earl Evans. I said, "Man, how do you know when the Lord's calling?" He said, "First, you'll have a peace. You'll have a desire to do it. But it's not of your mind. It's in your heart. And then the Lord will call you. And you have to obey him." So that's what happened. Just like he said. Just like Earl said that day. He got called to the ministry before I did. And We used to go to Refuge Temple in those days, and you know, it was a wonderful church under Bishop Bonner. And I thank the Lord for those days and how the Lord helped me to learn. Now, when this thing, when things happen, and the Lord call you, just be obedient. Just yield to the Holy Spirit. See, a hot church is a church that loves God. And they love Him so much they'll obey Him. That's all it is to be a hot church. A church that's on fire for the things of God. A church that's on fire for the Lord. A cold church is a hateful church. It's the opposite. A cold church is a church that cares about nobody. They left their first love. They don't love God anymore. They don't love man anymore. And they backbite. They talk about people. They put people down. They look down on others. That's cold. A lukewarm church is in the middle of both. And they do the most damage. Because people who are cold, everybody know that they just, you know, they usually go back to the world. Cold church. Cold people. Cold-hearted people. You know, they have no love for the things of God. They don't love God. They don't love man. But a lukewarm church has a reputation of being on fire for God, but they really don't care about people. You know, their love, they walked away from it. And they start finding reasons to compromise. They love the world. They're infiltrated with the world. And they look like the people of God, but they're really devils because they love this world. And they're treacherous. And I'm talking about the lukewarm. The cold church, they will tell you they don't like you. The lukewarm church will smile in your face, but they really don't care about you. At least the cold churches, the cold people are honest. They'll tell you, you know, they don't like you. They'll just be honest with you. But the lukewarm church, you know, they're worse. They'll act like they love you, and they really don't care what happens to you. But the hot church, they love God and they love man. And a powerful church is a powerful person in the Lord is a person who loves God, he loves man, and he yields to the Holy Spirit, and he allows the Holy Spirit to work through him. He receives the grace of God. He doesn't try to alter it, change it, manipulate it. He doesn't try to get people to give him resources and money under false pretense. He just do the work of the Lord. The Lord will bless him. And there are some people, some ministries, because of their assignment, they, you know, remember, when you're anointed, you are, the anointing gives you the ability to perform and finish a specific task. Now, let's say that specific task is great, and the Lord's going to use you in wide open throttle. Your ministry is supposed to reach millions. And he uses you to reach million by TV or radio or website. Whatever it takes to get that anointing on the screen, your anointing enables you to receive unlimited amounts of money to do it. Now, if a person has that kind of anointing, and they're willing, and they yield to the Lord, because they have that anointing, they're gonna be supernaturally supplied. It's not gonna make sense to nobody. And they can receive billions of dollars, and if they're faithful, they'll be on TV almost all day long on different channels. And they are preachers that way. Now, the enemy is going to try to mess them up, get them to compromise somewhere. He never stops fighting. But those who fight the good fight, they will finish the course. Some people have gotten on course and they've gotten off course. Some people look at the money and the people and they get off course. But see, a powerful person in the Lord, in God's eyes, are those who love God, they love people, they receive His word, they receive His wisdom, and they act on it. And they operate according to the rules of the anointing that they have. And they don't look at the people and the money and the possessions. They continue to look at the heart of God. If they're true to that anointing. Some people, they leave. They stop being as true to the anointing. And then they create problems. Remember, it's the same grace. If God doesn't grace you to do that particular assignment, whatever he anoints you to do, you can do it. And you'll have the grace for it. You know, grace is a gift from God that you can't earn and don't deserve. But he gives it to you anyway. All right? When he called me to the ministry, I had to yield to it. If I yield to it, it starts operating immediately in my life. And there are times people have asked me biblical questions, and the answer came out of my mouth. It bypassed my mind. The Lord put it in my heart, and it came right out of my mouth, and it surprised them, and it surprised me too. Because I didn't know, you know, I heard myself talking, but it was a wisdom that didn't come from my brain. The Lord put his word on my tongue because I'm anointed to minister his word. And then a lot of things didn't make sense. He started using me in the office of an apostle 2 years before he told me what kind of minister I was. And I said, why are you sending me to pastors? I looked at the pastors as being over me. I said, Lord, I'm just getting started good, and you got me giving words to pastors? That was my question in the back of my mind. But he didn't tell me. He didn't tell me why. I said I'd obey him, so I kept obeying him. And these words were personal. They were vital to their ministry. And in 1992, one February afternoon, Sunday afternoon, I was sitting there, and the Lord, he revealed to me that I was an apostle. A chief apostle to the church. Exactly what he said. I said, I wanted, you know, to run, but I couldn't run nowhere. It just blew my mind when he said that. I didn't expect it. But when I thought about everything, I realized it. And then I'm thinking, well, why me? My life is complicated enough, and now I got to tell people I'm an apostle. They're going to think I'm tripping. But he didn't care about that. If God gave you a grace to do something, he gave you a grace to do something. All you can do from now on is be faithful with it. And don't worry about what people think. It doesn't matter. But if he calls you to be an apostle, a prophet, or an evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher, do it with all you got. Yield to the Lord. Love God and love people. Enjoy his presence. Don't worry about the problems you face. Don't worry about no challenge that you face. Just do what he give you to do. I'm going to tell you a secret. And this is a good one. People don't know this. The work that you do, it's what makes it mighty. What makes a mighty work is if you obey God in love. You don't do it reluctant. You do it because he told you to. And you're faithful. You don't even have to have a calling to do a great work of the Holy Spirit. See, the calling that he gives you, it's an office. The calling of an apostle is greater than the calling of an apostle. say that again. The calling of an apostle is greater than the calling of an office of a prophet. The calling of a prophet is greater than the office of an evangelist. The office of an evangelist is greater than the office of a pastor. And the office of a pastor is greater than the office of an evangelist. They all have their unique purposes. If it had to be, if God had a need for it, he can cause an apostle to do all of them. And he can take a prophet and he can do the other four. I mean, the office of a prophet on down. And the evangelist can go out and get people saved, and he can do the work of a pastor for a while. And then the pastors, sometimes they're required to teach. And teachers, they can teach. That's what they do. Now, with that, the work that you do and the way you receive and carry that work, the way you measure the Word of God, depends on how far you go. Remember, everything of God is without limit. There are some teachers that will do a multiplied, exponential, greater work than some apostles because they're faithful and they seek the Lord. And the Lord plug them into where they need to be, and they're obedient and they're faithful in their office. And they can do a greater work than some apostles. It depends on what the purpose is God anointed you to perform. Some work seems small, but if you're doing what God told you to do, you can't, there's no real way for us to measure how far this work will go. The Lord may cause you to write a book in your lifetime that will change many people's destiny. You never can tell when if you do what you're supposed to on time, the Lord has you've given the Lord something to work with, and He'll finish it. You have to trust the Lord. Let's say God didn't call you to the office, to no office, but you're faithful and He gives you spiritual gifts to do what you're doing. You may be called to help. Just help in the ministry. With God, He can cause you to do something that will make the difference among the body of Christ. You may help a pastor, you may help a teacher, you may help an apostle, who knows? But it can make the difference, and many people will be warned by your work, by the way you yield. There are some pastors out there, they need a website page, and all these wonderful messages that they're doing, they need to be recorded and put on their website so people can get to it. But they don't have anybody to help them do a website. And you know, a lot of you teenagers know exactly how to do a website. And you can help your pastor get a website going. Now, they may not see the need for it, and they may not believe anybody will go on it. But I'm telling you, if you take the handiwork of God and make it available, it will bless many souls. I don't know how many people listen to this broadcast, but I know a lot of people do. In fact, the Lord told me a great number of people listen to it. And I'm not going to tell you how many. But He gave me this assignment, and my heart is in it. The little boy had two loaves of bread and a few fish, and Jesus fed 5,000 people with it. Because He gave it to Jesus, Jesus blessed it, and He distributed. That's precisely what I'm doing with the website broadcast, the radio broadcast, everything I write. When the Lord first started giving me writings, I did not want to sell them. I wanted people to make it available so people could get to it, so lives could be changed. Sometimes the people that need to read those writings and hear those words, they may not have any money. They may be in so much debt they'll never buy the book. Because we come to the Lord like we are. Now, it's up to them to read it, and Satan's going to try to stop them. Because everything of God, he tries to hide and stop it. Anybody that read my material and hear these broadcasts, I know that you fought a fight just to do it. Because the devil tried to talk you out of it. Or persuade you against it. In some form or fashion. That's what he does. But everybody that persisted and listened, I wanted to make this available because you are a fighter. You didn't take no for an answer. You heard something on the radio and you wanted more. And you sought the Lord and He guided you to this site. See, this website part, the people that listened to this, the Lord guided you to it. That's how you knew about it. Because I have not advertised it on the radio. I just do the radio broadcast. And the Lord lead people to this part. I don't think I ever did advertise it on the radio, but it's there. It's made available. And the Lord will lead those that he wants to hear it. And those that obey him, they get to hear these broadcasts. I'm doing this at his commandment. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. So when you do what the Lord give you to do, you're putting something in Jesus' hands, and he's going to bless it and multiply it, just like he did the five fish and the loaves. And you'll never see it on this life, on this side of the world. You'll never see it on this side. But when you go to heaven, that will, you know, it can be made known how many people actually benefited from your work. And I thank God for it. That the fight is going on, but the Lord knows how to win. And he knows how to do it. He does things for reasons. He talked to me about how he structured my ministry and why. So I don't tell people all that because they don't need to know. I do everything I do according to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And I promise you, the work that I do and the assignments that he's given, it's a work of precision. And I encourage my family and friends to read and listen to the broadcast. Most of them do not. Because people who are, just like in Jesus' own hometown, some people, unless you have a big name, they're not going to listen. But I don't need a big name. Those that want to know God will listen. And those that know me and my friends and family, if they want to grow in the Lord, they'll probably listen to somebody else. That's how people do things. It's not, I didn't say it was wise, but that's just the way it is. And I have friends that's got websites, and I go on their web page and listen sometimes. Sometimes you need an element that don't come from you. You need to hear what the Holy Spirit is doing in someone else. And I listen to Getting the Word with Little Jim. We call him Little Jim. Jim McCann IV. He has a website called gettingtheword.net. And then there's vcflive.org. And I listen to the Word on YouTube sometime. But there are things that's available. You know, and Hollis, man, he has a website. He and his family do one, and it's good. But it doesn't matter. God can do something with what you do. And when you yield to him, that's power. When you love him, when you love God and his people, when you love his word, and when you receive his will and learn to love his will, that, my friend, that's power. And then the Holy Spirit will, if you're faithful, you can tell when he's using you like a tool in his hand, because he give you assignments. When he give you assignments, they are designed to do a work of precision. And he will take you and your wisdom and your and the grace he's given you, and he'll use it to win souls. Yes, he can take your life And the anointing that he gives you and win people to Christ. They will live forever. You'll say the thing that they need the most. And sometimes a stranger like you is the perfect person for the stranger that's a stranger to God. Because he knows the kind of person that they'll listen to. See, we like different personalities in our culture. And the Lord knows how to put things together. And you're just going to have to write him that blank check. And the only way you'll write him that blank check is to trust him. You're just going to have to trust the Lord with your life. Don't worry about, you know, the things that most people focus on. Don't consider it. Don't look at the people. Don't look at how people are going to look at you. That's not the purpose of God. But the real purpose of God is, will you obey him? Will you do what he say do? With faith, with enthusiasm, with love. Do you love your brother enough to do God's will in it for his life. One thing that motivated me is when the Lord would show me what would happen if pastors obeyed him. And most of the time I wrote it down, and the description was so great. I got so excited. I was enthused, and I wanted to see it through. And I would do anything to help these pastors receive this word. Sometimes I didn't have a business back then. Sometimes I'd fix their cars for free just to talk to them about the things of God. But most of the time I got rejected. And it wasn't a cold rejection, they just didn't listen. I got rejected. And I knew it because the Lord would give me dreams and visions, and he talked to me about what was happening. And, one pastor, I went over to fix his car and tell him what the Lord put on my heart. He sent somebody else outside with the keys and never came outside. So some people are not going to hear you, but God will plug you into those that will. People, you can't bless everybody, but you can bless the ones that love God. See, if you come to somebody as a messenger of the Lord, and if they won't hear you, they won't hear Jesus. And if they won't hear Jesus, they won't hear the Father. It's just that simple. If you come to somebody with a message from God, and the way they treat you is precisely the way they treat God too. But don't get mad. Don't worry about it. That's God's problem. It's not even your business how they treat God on their terms. And the Lord taught me that. Don't worry about what they do. I said, what if I give them a word and they don't receive it? He said, what they do, it's your responsibility to give them the word. What they do with that word is not your business. That's precisely what the Lord said. That's exactly what he told me. He told me it wasn't my business what they do with it. And it's not. But if they won't hear God through you or me, then they just don't want to hear him. And then God can't promote them. Now, remember, I love you. God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. We're out of time, but he is not. And he will continue to teach you.